We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Dynasty startup season. I mean, it's in full swing. It just keeps getting earlier and earlier every year, Shane Seeley. I know that you and I both had this little startup addiction going. We love doing it. And I think this year I'm a little capped out, but I'm shedding some of the stagnant leagues that I've had, making room for some others. And, you know, I'll have a whole theory about leaving dynasty leagues. We can get into that. But, you know,
first of all, Al, don't you dare drag me into your degenerate habits that is dynasty fantasy football. Are you so you've now shed leagues? Are you still over the 30 mark?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm closer to the 40 than I am to the 30. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But see, that's fine. You know,
somebody who enjoys, you know, a little bit of the marijuana on the weekends versus somebody who's like all in,
full on
crackhead, who's on the train, feet up in the air, passed out.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it's market research. It's market research. But with dynasty startup season and, you know, rookies coming into the fold and all, you know, becomes a new strategy. Every year there's a new strategy or a change in strategy based on what happened last year. So that's why I brought you on here. And that's why, you know, you guys, the Flex Network, the work you're doing over at DFS Army, I think that you have a very unique perspective on how to weight or discount the previous year in order to engage in trading in the offseason. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Five ways to build a dynasty team from a startup perspective and also of an existing team already. So that will be the launching off point. So I guess really, from a startup perspective, what do you think is going to be the top tier of players? Who do you think are going to be the most coveted players in 2023 dynasty? Who's going to be that top five in your overall one QB rankings?
So we're talking about single quarterback positions right now. Or what are we talking about? We're talking about, because listen, if we're talking Superflex, which...
No, wait, you didn't hear, the question was in one quarterback leagues.
Yes, exactly. So I understand it's one quarterback. There are still going to be some quarterbacks that are like going to be in discussion, but hands down, it's got to be those top wide receivers, right? Like we're talking Justin Jefferson, we're talking Ja'Marr Chase. The conversation kind of stops there. Obviously, I think we can loop in Cooper Kupp, but he's what, 30? He'll be.
I don't think he's a consideration in the first round of dynasty drafts.
No, I feel the exact same way. So yeah, I would definitely say it's going to be those top tier wide receivers if we're talking about single quarterback leagues. Which, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, if you're playing dynasty in single quarterback leagues, you're doing it all wrong. Right?
I don't agree with that necessarily, but I understand. That? No, I think that there are two different games. I mean, I like Superflex better, but I also agree with your philosophy that let's utilize the quarterback. But some people they think it swings the balance back the other way. But let's stick with the team building exercise here. So really, who are going to be the most coveted players in dynasty leagues heading into startup season? So you mentioned Chase, you mentioned Jefferson. Who are some of the other players you think are worth top five, top six, top seven picks in startup drafts?
Well, I think at the quarterback position.
No, not a quarterback.
No, I know. I'm just I'm going there. Yeah. Okay, so at the quarterback position, right, people are naturally going to say, well, I should go for Josh Allen. I should go for Patrick Mahomes. I like locking those types of positions in. And it's the same conversation we're going to have this year in redraft is, oh, my God, look at the differential between the top player, the top quarterbacks. I still believe, fundamentally, you need to build your team into trenches. And what I mean by that is the wide receiver position, the running back position. And I, even in Dynasty, even in today's world, I'm still willing to pay probably a late first, early second for Travis Kelce, even in a non-tight end premium type league, just because we've seen it where a team like the Chiefs is evolving, where Patrick Mahomes doesn't need that superstar wide receiver core, and he's able to make it done. Like, we see superstars like Tyreek Hill move seams. He actually had his best season.
Hold on a second. Right? You think that Travis Kelce's a top five pick in Dynasty, Shane?
No, top 12. Top 12.
Okay. Like, so okay.
Late round one, early round two. So I'm trying to.
Answer my question, Shane Seeley. I said, who are the top five most coveted assets? I mean, this is the third time I'm asking the damn question.
Alan, we have this on our show, DFS Army, DFSArmy.com.
Right, so you're still not going to answer the question.
We like to teach the people how to fish, right? I can tell you who my top five players are. We're talking Stephon Diggs. He's still up there, in my opinion.
Okay, hold on. This is going extremely poorly. You're picking 30-year-old players.
Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase.
You've said those two.
CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown.
Slow down. Be a good guest, Shane Seeley.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I love being good guest. Who are the top? I'm going to ask it one more time so everyone can understand.
Top
who
players.
Are the? We're talking about startup draft strategy. Mm-hmm. Who do you believe are the top five? You said Chase and Jefferson, so you're not allowed to say them anymore.
Okay.
Who do you think after that are the most coveted assets in Dynasty? And you're not allowed to tell me anyone who's 30 years old is a most coveted asset in Dynasty startup leagues.
You know who I think is still coveted, despite his slow start to the season and just an absolute monster finish to the second half of the season, is CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, Dallas Cowboys, he's going to continue to be the focal point of that offense, continues to get double-digit targets pretty much every single game. And I like to liken a player like CeeDee Lamb to DeAndre Hopkins during his prime, except the difference between Hop and CeeDee Lamb is that Dak Prescott, despite what Dallas Cowboys fans keep saying, he's a top-tier quarterback, okay, in the NFL. Winning Super Bowl is hard. Guys, a player like CeeDee Lamb, a player like AJ Brown, who's now going to be on this juggernaut that is the Eagles team, those are the types of players that I want to get on my team. High volume, young, studly, and most importantly, they've shown it. We've seen it with our eyes consistently. This isn't like a flash in a pan type situation. These are the types of players that if you want to compete in Dynasty, not for just for this year, but for future years, these are the types of players you need to build your team around. Now, I still believe generally that you need to have stud running backs on your team. So I generally like to have more of a balanced approach when I'm building my team. But the running back position, in my opinion, it's a lot more murky, right? I mean, who's at the top now? Because we're talking about, we don't want to talk about players that are old, right? Okay. And I was looking at it. How many of these studly running backs that have been fantasy football producers for the last 5 years are now aging? They're 27, 28 years old. Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook. These guys aren't in consideration anymore. So are we looking at players like Breece Hall?
So what you're doing here, okay. So when you talk about dynasty strategy and team building, right? What you want to do is, and I titled this podcast Five Tips to Build a Dynasty. And I think that what you want to do in the beginning of your dynasty drafts in single quarterback leagues is have, obviously, you want high-end producers that you can count on for 3 to 5 year window. And again, there's not many of those guys. And that's what really led to the question. I think that you identified the three most coveted assets in Dynasty Fantasy Football. And that's CeeDee Lamb, Jefferson Chase. You know, I think that those guys are a tier, 1, 2, and 3. And not that CeeDee Lamb, and I think you made a good comparison with that Lamb is like Hopkins. I don't think that Lamb is more of like that alpha, but he is that safe guy that's going to produce year in, year out. He's an auto start in every format. And then AJ Brown's an interesting question because AJ Brown, he's still in that peak age and we like him there. So I think that that's the fourth, right? So that's the fourth guy. And then I think you're going to have to, I believe Jalen Waddle and Amon-Ra St. Brown deserve first round consideration in team building as a building block. Those guys are still, you know, very young, 23, 24 years old. and they are on teams that, you know, we like. We don't exactly know what's going on with Miami. And so those guys for me are the building blocks of Dynasty. Now, you bring up an interesting concept with the running backs that those guys that have been first round redraft picks forever. Yeah. They're starting to age out a little bit. And what we know in Dynasty fantasy football is once those running backs hit at age 27, they drop like flies. And there's a big chasm between their redraft ADP and their Dynasty ADP. So absolutely, we start to look at some of those wide receivers that you mentioned earlier that was giving you a hard time about, the Diggs, you know, those type of guys, because, you know, Tyreek Hill, 29 years old. Stephon Diggs, going to be 30 years old. So we're going to have to make a decision where to rank those players. Now, you bring up Breece Hall. It's like if you're in a Dynasty startup league and you're picking near the end of the first round. I've had this discussion with a few people already. And do you really, again, this is not a right or wrong answer, but do you really want to start your draft, your Dynasty draft that you're putting money down with a player who probably won't be ready for the month of September? And I know Dynasty is longer than that, but we've seen players come back from these type of injuries, and sometimes it's a full year before we get them where they're going again. So you're willing to draft a player like Breece Hall in the first round of your Dynasty startup draft?
Well, I think that's where I was trying to go before I was rudely interrupted by Mr. Alan Sizlowski, is the fact that I like right now, if I'm staring down the barrel and I'm pick, say, 111, 112, I'm trying to decide. That's the inflection point where, do I want to draft a player like Stephon Diggs, who the aforementioned, he's 29 years old right now. Okay, so next season, going to be pushing 30. Pushing 30. Tyreek Hill, he's 29 years old.
Yeah, go ahead. Go get water. I'm going to continue on with this. So I think that's in Dynasty, it's going to be interesting, because I've already examined Dynasty ADP pretty, you know, and there's been thousands of Dynasty drafts that have gone off on Sleeper MFL already, like thousands. And there is an interesting point for Dynasty players as you're starting to build your team, where you're balancing age versus youth, production versus projection. And I think that's an important tip for players to understand, is that you need to understand in the beginning of your draft how you're going to build it. And, you know, you can have a healthy balance of both. This is a question that I get asked all the time. What point of the draft do you realize, I'm going win now, or I'm going win later? It's always win now. There's no win later. Yeah. It's always win now, Shane.
I totally agree with you, and I apologize for that. So basically what I was trying to get at is, to me, at the end of that first round is when you really need to make that decision between the young Breece Hall or some of these studly wide receivers that they're generally healthy. Yes, Stephon Diggs, he didn't love the way that they exited the playoffs this year. So now there's going to be controversy. Oh, this is just like what happened in Minnesota. Maybe they'll trade Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is going to stay a Bill. He's going to give it a little bit of time, and he's going to continue to be a stud. He's going to continue to be productive. And I like the idea of, if these older, quote in air quotes, older wide receivers are going to be available at that stage of the draft, you're probably still going to have 2 to 3 years of high-end, elite-level production from these players, barring an injury, right? You can say that for any player. Breece Hall, yes, you could argue probably 3 to 4 years of high-end production, but we do not know. How often, Al, do we just have these players that get injured season after season? And it's always, I like the idea of a bird in hand, right? I like the fact that Stephon Diggs, throughout his career, has stayed healthy. We were adamant this season in our redraft leagues of drafting Stephon Diggs around pick 1.6, 1.7. And I was roasted for this by my boss, the geek, Kevin Allen. He roasted me for having Stephon Diggs so high. And in the end, I'm still confident and I was happy with that decision. Again, because these players in perfect situations continue to be high-end producers. So generally speaking, yes, you want to push for youth in your Dynasty startups, especially at the top of your drafts. But if you're going to get 2 to 3 years of elite production from these elite players that have done it, there's no signs of slowing down. I'm definitely going to pull the trigger on one of those players and be confident with that. And yes, it hurts to pass up Breece Hall. But to your point, Al, is he going to be the Breece Hall that we saw at the start of the season? Or is he going to be injured? Is it going to be a bit of a timeshare? I mean, Zonovan Knight was good enough that maybe he's going to get touches. Michael Carter, as far as I'm concerned, the Jets misused him, but he's still there. He's still present, right? So, yes, I want a workhorse running back, but not at the expense of a studly wide receiver, especially in 2023.
And if you want to build your dynasty team with young running backs, there is a you know, there is a tier of guys that right now by ADP are going in the second round, but you can elevate to the first round. I have no problem with that. You know, I'm talking about players like Travis Etienne, Kenneth Walker, Christian McCaffrey is, you know, he's probably going to age well with the type of game that he has, the pass catching ability. And then you're talking about like a 26-year-old Saquon Barkley, and Josh Jacobs is still young enough where if he lands back in free agency with the Raiders, he's going to be in consideration for that like 1-2 turn as well. So the title of this podcast, again, is Tips to Build a Dynasty. And the way I outline it is that there's five guiding principles, right, Shane? And I just want to list all the principles, and we're going to come back and discuss all of those different principles and how people can use these to help build their dynasty team. And the first one is the dynasty window, understanding how far you should project players. The second one is understanding player liquidity. Certain players are going to have more trade value than actual value, and certain ones are going to have more actual value than trade value, right? We'll discuss those differences. Positional production value, okay? The same production is going to be more expensive at the running back position. This 15 fantasy points is always cheaper at the wide receiver position. So understanding that, right? And obviously tight ends that score 15, it's going to be the most expensive. Contract insulation. What's a player's contract? What's their real insulation with their contract? Are they on a 2-year deal, or do they have a 3-year deal, or are they really on a 1-year deal? So the contract insulation will also drive player value. And the fifth one is the NFL calendar and how that changes value. Specifically, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, those guys are going to be worth more in week 13 to a championship team than they are right now. So depending on the time of the year, players change value. Okay. Right now, let's say like a Treylon Burks is going to be worth more now than, because he's a second year player that showed some upside than if he has three bad weeks in the first 3 weeks of the season. So understanding player value around the calendar. So let's come and talk about those five guiding principles, Shane. The first
Can I just add to the last one? Rookie picks also fall into that calendar. The closer we get to our rookie drafts, the more valuable those rookie picks are going to become. So patience and timing is important to your
Yep. Yeah, no, that's a great point. The rookie picks change value when you're on the clock and someone gets hot for a rookie. And I'm going to talk about that one, and we're going to try to cover all five of these. So first, let's talk about the dynasty window. And dynasty players can fall into this trap chain of thinking too long term. I think that dynasty is best played within 2 to 3 year windows. There's a few exceptions to that, you know. So where do you think do you think that this is one of the biggest traps or mistakes that players can fall into, and how do you avoid it?
100%. I totally agree with you. 2 to 3 years should always be your outlook. And that's why I know we're going to talk about the concept of productive struggle. I'm going to caution people who go in with the idea of doing productive struggle, but the way that you can combat it, Al, is take advantage of it, man. Like, look at a player like Tyler Lockett. Okay. He's old. He was conceivably on a bad team, and he still finished as a top tier wide receiver two with wide receiver one production upside. But he's, I wouldn't say quite free because he still has a name brand behind him, but a player like Tyler Lockett is super cheap. So if you can go out there and if you're going to spend your capital early on young players, you can build out your team with these older and veteran players because, Al, we're only looking at short-term 1, 2, 3 year windows. The idea that I'm in rebuild mode, I'm fine with that. If you can look at your team and understand, listen, I got problems. I got to sell. I'm in rebuild mode. You need to have a plan 2 to 3 years out. And I don't know, like, you know how people have this vision board, Al? The concept of a vision board or just the if you picture it in the universe, you need to manifest it in the universe. It's the same idea with your fantasy teams. If you look at your team and understand, okay, this is my plan. I'm in win now mode. Don't be afraid to sell your assets. Particularly, I'm okay selling younger players that have not done anything, that haven't proven anything, that are probably more developmental, say like a Treylon Burks last year, right? If you can get a young, proven veteran, an older veteran that's going to help you win today. So understanding where your team is at is a really good thing, but also don't be afraid, man.
Yeah, I'm in these dynasty leagues, like, you know, I'm always targeting like the Keenan Allen types.
Yeah.
You know, for, I'm not saying trade Treylon Burks for Keenan Allen, but there's a classic example. Like, so I've been in some redraft best ball style leagues, and Keenan Allen is a, you know, sometimes goes in the second or third round, right? And he showed that he was worth it from a production standpoint. But in dynasty leagues, he's not going to hold that type of trade value. In fact, Treylon Burks, who goes in like the sixth or seventh round redraft this year in best ball, those guys would probably be flipped. If you did a single quarterback league, Burks would probably go in the second, and Keenan Allen would go in the sixth round or fifth round or seventh round or whatever it is. And that is, therein lies the game of dynasty, right? Mm-hmm. The actual values don't match up with the trade values. And I think that that's a way to exploit it, because as a fantasy industry, we're bad at projecting the season ahead of us. How the hell are we going to project two and three seasons out? And you brought up Tyler Lockett as another one. He finished as wide receiver 7 on the year or something like that. I mean, it was pretty close to that. I mean, he was a locked in wide receiver 1 for most of the year. He was an auto start player. He was somewhere in there, wide receiver 9, something close to that. And I remember, like, he was basically a throw in. So I think that that is the key here. Identifying those veterans who have done it year in and year out that are cheap in dynasty, that you can get. And, you know, I know nobody wants anyone to die on their roster. Like, you know, like DeAndre Hopkins is a classic example. You can't trade that guy, but you know, the friend of this podcast, Jordan McNamara, always says, what do you care about the price of your house if you're going to live in it for the rest of your life? Right. It's okay. Everyone wants to like shed these old guys before they expire value wise. Sometimes just keep them on your roster and start them. You know, I mean, who's going to have more fantasy points over the next two seasons? Is it DeAndre Hopkins or, you know, some project that still hasn't hit, you know, it and over and over again. So
I think another great example of that is like an Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's got stink all over him, especially when he was traded to the Browns. Like,
right.
And yet he was still productive this year. He was in terms of points per game, he was right there with Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. No, that's probably even the best example of them all, because he wasn't even old. He was like 27, right?
Yeah.
and he was being shed for pennies. Nobody wanted him. And now, you know, it's here's a general rule. Elite players stay elite. Good players stay good. Great players stay great, right? It doesn't, once you have two full seasons of sample size, and yes, football is a sample size, is a small sample size sport. So you have to really just judge on that. In the chat, Hopkins versus Elijah Moore. This is a perfect example of what we're talking about, right? Like, these guys are going to have similar value in dynasty startup and trade market, but obviously who's going to have more fantasy points over the next 2 years? If I'm forced to bet my house on it, I'm betting DeAndre Hopkins, right? So
yeah.
But let's talk about the second guiding principle, and that's understanding. Go ahead, Chief.
I just have one quick thing here. So this is from Pat Kerwin on Sirius NFL. He always talks about if a team is signing or trading for a player and you expect them to be something that they're not in a previous team. So, for example, if you're trading or buying or signing a free agent who's always been his entire career wide receiver 2 on a team, on an NFL team, and you bring them in thinking you're going to be the one, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Yeah, so, that's the Corey Davis thing, right? Where
exactly.
Where you're bringing him in he's better. He's moving up a slot, right? He's moving from being a wide receiver 2 on his own team when he was with AJ Brown to now the wide receiver 1 2 years ago on the New York Jets. That usually doesn't work, right? That's a really good point you bring up there. All right, the second tip is understanding player liquidity in dynasty. And the difference really between redraft and dynasty is the ability to keep your roster liquid, Shane. So make sure that you understand the actual value versus the market value. Can you hear us keep? I'm going to be talking about this on almost every podcast. And for example, entering last year, Davante Adams, he was likely to have elite value, which he did, but the dynasty market labeled him an old bust aging player. So who are some of those guys this year that we might be able to exploit? I mean, Hopkins is certainly one of them. Are there any players that might not be liquid that you may want to attack and build your dynasty route, whether it's through the startup draft or even in the trade market?
Well, when it comes to players that I feel that the liquidity is going down, I look at going back to this old aging running back position in particular, right? Because, I mean, some of these wide receivers just like fine wine, but like running backs, Derrick Henry, he's 29 years old. That's questionable for some people who wants to go and draft an old aging running back, but yet he's still extremely productive. He still finishes like a top six running back in fantasy points per game. And he looks healthy for the most part. Yes, he's dealt with the foot issue, but for the most part, he looks healthy. Players like Alvin Kamara, who's got stink all over him after last season, 27 years old, his style of game is probably similar to like an Austin Eckler. If he was in a less dysfunctional type offense, Alvin Kamara could have been just as productive as an Austin Eckler. So players like that are guys that I'm willing to spend a little bit on, understanding that they're going to lose their liquidity. They're going to be tough to trade in a season. But again, if understanding, as long as you have an actual team that can win now, those are the types of players you're going to want to go and tackle. Is that, am I answering your question correctly, Al? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you just identified the perfect guys, because I'm thinking of wide receivers, but it's now shifted. Like the aging guys now, like the 20s, because it's tough sometimes to take on 29, 30-year-old guys. I understand why those guys don't move. But, you know, when you're talking about running backs, like 26 to 28, I think you've identified the hot zone. Like, to trade for Alvin Kamara, now Alvin Kamara could be suspended this year. Let's just pretend for a minute. Let's pretend that he's not going to be suspended, because we're using him as, yes, a specific player, but as an archetype. So I think you identified really exactly. You illustrated better than what I explained it, is that Kamara, Mixon might be heading into this territory, although he's still valued. Derrick Henry is the ultimate example. Aaron Jones,
he's 28 years old, Ben, but he still looks good. He still looks electric. Last season, so not this season, but the previous season, when he, I think they went out of the playoffs with a fumble, with an Aaron Jones fumble. I'm like, that's it. He's never going to be a Packer. He's done as a Packer. And he comes back and he produces again this year.
Yeah.
I look at, you know, at the wide receiver position, players like Mike Evans. Mike Evans is 29 years old. He didn't quite look as good as we thought. He disappointed this year. That's a good example.
Except that he won you the fantasy championship if you made it.
God, that's the key thing, man. I had him on a few teams, and sure as hell, I did not make my championship in that case. Another player that I'd like to mention here quickly is Mike Williams, okay, of the Chargers. We talk about Keenan Allen a lot. Mike Williams is the same thing. He can be super productive when he's healthy. So there's obviously that risk factor for an older player like that. I'd be far more inclined to go and get a player like an Amari Cooper, or somebody who's generally healthier than a Mike Williams. But again, Mike Williams kind of has that stink on him. He might be hard to trade, but you can probably get him for a song, right? Late second round pick for a player like Mike Williams.
And we like Justin Herbert is still for a bounce back season next year. So Mike Williams, and again, he's going to fall into this category. So there's two ways now we're looking at to build your dynasty team. And if you're going to go with a wide, I still believe that if you're in a three receiver league, you want to get three young receivers to fill those spots. Definitely. You know, you start your draft with just say, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you come back in there with like a T. Higgins, and then in the third round, you could look at running back, but I still think someone like Chris Olave or Chris Godwin or Deebo Samuel. So now you have three guys, and again, you could insert your favorite guys in those ranges, but what we had talked about is that this year, and the reason why dynasty strategy changes every year, is because now the running backs are falling. You can get Derrick Henry in the fourth or fifth round of your dynasty startup league. Derrick Henry is going to be a top six picks in redraft. There is where the edge is had. When you look at Underdog or Sleeper or anyone's early redraft rankings, and then look at their dynasty rankings, and the players who have those biggest chasms, those are going to be your values. So we talked about that's one way to build the dynasty. The other way is if you want to go the running back heavy, and then you just identified some of the wide receivers. So I think that when people say, should I go old, should I go young, it doesn't matter. I think you have to look positionally where you want to build and where you want that shelf life to be, and then fill in those guys, fill in, the other positions.
I think, too, what's important is when you look at a player's age, context matters, right? Like, again, just going back to a Mike Williams, a 28-year-old Mike Williams is a lot different than a 29-year-old Keenan Allen. I just trust that Keenan Allen's style of play, he's going to be able to play later into his career, because he's had some injury issues, yes. But generally speaking, he's been healthier than a Mike Williams, right? So understanding context, same deal. I mean, if you've got a workhorse running back that's getting 300 touches a season, like an Ezekiel Elliott, versus like a Derrick Henry, I'm far more inclined to go after a player like Derrick Henry, who, one, DeMarco Murray was his teammate for the start of his career, right? So he didn't get those workhorse role touches early on in his career. Whereas Zeke, they used him. They used him hard, right? So I'd be more inclined to go after a player that hasn't had that work. Austin Eckler is another example of that, right? So context matters as well for these players that are getting older.
It's like a car. It's not the year it was made. It's how many miles are on it, right? And
exactly.
You talked about Derrick Henry had light usage in the first 2-3 years, so that makes a lot of sense. Plus, Derrick Henry is obviously an outlier, and you know. Yes. So, but you have to take a look at the ages, right? So everyone in dynasty startups is going to be the cheapest, also that you get the running backs, and in super flex it's the quarterbacks, right? Like for example, Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, Javonte Williams before he was injured, and you know who else? Travis Etienne, Jonathan Taylor. These guys are nearly impossible to acquire in trades unless you're giving up elite wide receivers, and you don't want to do that. So cheap running back production, like the Devin Singletary types, Rashad Penny last year, this year we'll get into some of those guys, who those could be. So you have to really make those tough decisions in dynasty startups. And it, you know, this year it just seems like the value is taking wide receivers early and then getting cheaper, older running backs. You're going to have Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook as your starting running backs if you go early wide receiver, but it does shift every year. The next guiding principle that I want to talk to, and I guess this really is a good lead-in, is the positional production value, meaning wide receivers are always cheaper as far as production. Wide receiver 10 versus running back 10, right? I mean, it's always going to be cheaper to draft wide receiver 10, right? I mean, and really, if you're not like a top five, top six running back, it almost doesn't matter, right? Whereas wide receiver 14 matters, right? Having Chris Olave matters. So knowing that wide receiver production is cheaper, do you think that that's a reason possibly to go running back early, even in dynasty, when we just talked about how valuable what early young wide receivers could be?
Of course. I mean, listen, at some point, Breece Hall is going to get drafted, right? At some point, Ken Walker is going to get drafted. And these guys are important parts of your team because we got to fill all these roles. But I still genuinely believe, Al, that if you're going to be spending this early premium capital, it just – And this is just bias because this is just from my experience. But the teams where I went wide receiver early in my dynasty leagues, 2-3 years later, I'm still in the conversation. It's still.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Like, you're getting players like Rashad White, Damian Pierce's, later in your rookie drafts, because these players don't quite have the pedigree of like the top end running backs. So you're always able to find these players. And of course, you could say the same thing about the wide receiver position, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown is a perfect example of that, right? Where he went later in the real NFL draft, which made him fall in our rookie drafts. But generally speaking, yes, we play Dynasty in 2 to 3 year windows, but I also want to be relevant and competitive in 2 to 3 years also, right? So I'm generally more inclined to go after these early wide receivers. But of course, listen, if I walk out of my first round draft and I get, I say at the 1-2 turn, Breece Hall and Ken Walker because they fell because people were inclined to draft wide receiver early, I'm laughing at that, man. Having two of the best young running backs in the league moving forward for the next 2 to 3 years to really be the staple of my team. Like, I'm okay with that. But you need to understand, if you're going to do that, identify and plan ahead, because most of these rookie drafts, or excuse me, dynasty starter drafts are slow drafts, right? Look ahead and see, okay, pull up an average ADP. Who am I going to be getting in rounds 5 to 6? Maybe you have to reach a little bit for one of these players, especially if you're on the turn. But make sure that if you do go positional heavy, either running back or wide receiver, right? Make sure that you plan out later rounds and understand, okay, if there is going to be a massive positional tier drop, maybe you shouldn't go and double up on that one position. So I think it's really important how you build your team, because if you do build it top heavy, Al, I find that fantasy football in general it's a battle of attrition, right? But in redraft leagues, we have the waiver wire. There are still players that you can go in that and pick off the waiver wire that can put up 10 to 12 points at the wide receiver position. Maybe there's an injury at RB and you can go out and spend your fab on that. In Dynasty, man, those waiver wires are barren. There's not a lot out there, right?
So again, and obviously it's a little more format dependent. Like you said, like in the leagues that we play in where there's like 30 deep rosters, you're very rarely going to find a player on waivers that has significant impact. So having stars matters, having depth matters, and you have to make that balance, you know. But in like the FFPC, where you're only allowed to keep 12 guys in their dynasty leagues and you throw everyone back, you know, picks matter less because you're only going to hold on to your first round pick in a cut when you're cutting 10 guys off your roster every year. So it really is format dependent. So I agree with what you said there. With our last 10 minutes or so, Shane, I do want to talk about the quarterback position. You talked about like super flex and how much we love super flex, and you said you're doing it wrong. And I agree. You do want to play where the quarterback matters a little bit more. There's a lot of weight, and the pushback to playing in two quarterback leagues, and especially in dynasty, is that literally you're out, you're dead if you don't have two quarterbacks. And there's some truth to that, but just remember, Geno Smith was available. Brock Purdy was available, right? Like, these guys do show up on waiver wires. And I know only one team can get them. So really right now, by my count, there's only about 11 settled quarterback spots in the NFL. Like, everything else is kind of up for grabs. Maybe there's 13. I mean, there's certainly 8 or 9 teams that we have no idea what their quarterback situation is going to be. So knowing there's that uncertainty, let's talk about single quarterback leagues for a minute, right? Where you only need to start one quarterback.
Yep.
Is where, I mean, that top tier is going to be Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe even Trevor Lawrence, if you're feeling spicy, who knows? I mean, he's locked in. So how early, where should fantasy dynasty drafters in their startup drafts, where should they plan on taking the quarterback? Now we talk about not just projecting things for 2-3 years, but with those elite guys, I think it's safe to say 3 to 5 years is a reasonable projection.
Listen, I generally still will not be drafting a quarterback in the first round, period, right? Like, if you decide that you want to go and get, say, like a Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes because they make that much of a difference. I mean, when you compare them, our friends over at Player Profiler have a fun stat called VOS, value over stream, right? And when you compare those top tier quarterbacks versus the value over stream, it's pretty significant. So if you want to spend that capital and invest in your future at the quarterback position in a single quarterback league, I'm okay with it. I'm generally going to deflect. I'm okay getting one of those second tier quarterbacks. Like, Dak Prescott is a guy I'm going to bring up because still extremely productive. He played very, very well. Yes, he had a lot of interceptions this year, but a lot of those, frankly, weren't his fault, right? It was tip balls, that sort of thing. So understanding, again, context matters. But I'm probably more inclined to go and get a robust wide receiver running back core, maybe dabble in the tight end world with Travis Kelce over getting one of those premium elite wide receiver or quarterbacks. And I'm okay to get one of those second tier guys. When I talk about second tier, I mean, you talked about Herbert, talked about
Lamar,
Burrow, but like Lamar, Kyler Murray. Yes, Kyler Murray's burned us the last two seasons because of his injuries, but to me, he's still in kind of that second tier conversation, right? I mean, hell out. Player like Kirk Cousins has been on that borderline QB1, QB2 for the last 3 years, right? He's finished as like that wide receiver or quarterback 11 to 13. Am I comfortable with Chris, with captain as my QB1? No, not really. So probably rounds 3-4 is where I'll start to consider the quarterback position. But
yeah, you won't get any of them because all those guys are going in round 2 in dynasty startups. All the three guys we're talking, maybe even 4. It may be by the beginning of round 3, but by pick 3 or 4.
Where's Dak round, going? Is Dak going in round 2?
No. Dak, I mean, he's not even going. In single quarterback leagues, he's like in the 10th round.
See, that's a player that I want to get, man. Yeah. Like, who would you rather have? A Dak Prescott, who's going to put up maybe 1 to 2 less fantasy points per game versus Joey B? But you're getting him 8-9 rounds later? Like, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yep. Yeah, no, I like that. I think Dak is a good target, a great player. Stay great. I still think Dak's a great player. He's QB 11 right now in Dynasty ADP. Now, you brought up the Kyler Murray. Murray, for me, is dropping like a stone. We don't really know. I mean, he's not going to be available for the first 2 months of the season, most likely. I mean, his injury happened late. In a single quarterback league, no problem. You just, you know, you grab Derek Carr late, or you take Mac Jones or Kenny Pickett, or even Aaron Rodgers, who's fallen to like QB 21 at this point. Yep. So no problem. But obviously in two QB formats, you cannot have that. And he is on shaky ground right now. So I think that's a good team building dynasty tip that, I mean, I would take Daniel Jones, especially if he ends up getting a contract, a 3-year contract, say, I mean, it looks like that's going to happen over Kyler Murray. I mean, that, you know, could be considered hot takey, but we talked about as our fourth dynasty point, one of our guiding principles, that contract insulation. Right now, Daniel Jones doesn't have a contract, but if he does get one of these like fake 4-year that really is a 3-year contract, to me, that's good enough to elevate him over Kyler Murray. Again, we haven't, you know, Kyler Murray has proven to be a little bit less durable, and you don't want to deal with that. But Murray's going to fall in these drafts in single quarterback. And he has been a disappointment.
Daniel Jones, man, for one, he impressed me this year. Yes, he wasn't an elite passing quarterback, but he got the job done for the Giants. And rumblings right now is that he's like, for his first year, he's getting $40 million, Al. Just because that's the nature of the quarterback position. Now, it'll be shocking if he actually gets that when you compare it to Mahomes, who's getting, what, 45 a year? But,
I mean, the money, again, the actual money, it doesn't so much matter to me as it does with just like, will he get a contract? Even if, let's say, it's $32 million, right, you know, or it's 20. Yeah. Like, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, if they give him a deal, if they franchise tag him, he's still basically contractless. He's only he falls below the Kyler Murrays and all them. So what we're talking about, just for dynasty team building and the specific point of contract insulation, keep an eye on that. I think he's going to get it. And again, the specific money, yes, that we'll pay attention to that to see how much the market bears. But I just want to know that he's locked in for 3 years, because what else can you, you know? That's why you, when in like rookie drafts, you draft a first round, a top 10 quarterback early, because you know that guy's going to, even if he's bad, like Zach Wilson got 2 seasons to be horrible, and he still got 2 seasons. If Sam Howell had the start for the Washington team year one, and he was bad, he'd be out of the league. So that contract insulation does matter. Shane, we're going to stop it here, man. I just want to review for everybody that we talked about the dynasty window. We talked about understanding player liquidity, positional value, where to get free fantasy points, the wide receiver versus the running back position, contract insulation, as you heard us just talk about. And obviously, we didn't get to it too much, but we touched down the dynasty calendar. I thought Shane brought up some really good points about rookie picks being more valuable as we get closer. We're going to continue these conversations as we get into. I want everyone to go follow Shane on the Flex Network 1 You're doing some great work over at DFS Army. Hopefully you'll start doing that podcast again. You'll be on this podcast as a regular rotator. And of course, you're always tweeting out over there. You follow me at Alan Sislowski on Twitter. If you like videos like this, consider giving us a like on the video, subscribe to the channel. And also, if you love Dynasty Conversation like we do, go check out, if you have SiriusXM, just put in the Dynasty Hour into the search. We're doing a show on Sirius, you know, every once in a while, we're about to put up two new episodes, and it's all Dynasty Conversation with some of your favorite analysts. Shane, you did it again. We appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll be back next week with John Laub talking about some Senior Bowl and rookie takes. Everybody, go get in some startups, go make some trades, and enjoy your Dynasty Leagues.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.